Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversation for practical Christian living. We are on episode number 13. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nuremberg. And today we are going to do our part two to guidance. We're going to go over six basic principles to encourage you in guidance. So before we begin and kind of deep dive into these principles, let's recap last week. Do you want to do that? Kind of what we talked about, the main things that we went over as encouragements and kind of large-scale principles, bedrock truths.
Okay, yeah. First one that we covered is this, that God has a plan for us, that our lives are not random, that once you become a Christian, once you are placed into Christ, you have a role. We have the chance to glorify God. Our lives count. And so it's important how we live our lives, because there's the potential of that life counting, and there's the potential of missing it. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And we want to know what that right way is. The second thing we talked about was that ultimately, we must always put the burden of our lives on the Lord. He is the Savior. And that comes up in guidance too. The shepherd guides the sheep. My ultimate faith rests not in my ability to follow the shepherd, but in his ability to guide me and to shepherd me into his purpose. That's the second thing. Third thing, which we kind of covered, I think, pretty well, was that, but it's a starting place, is that most of what we need to know in order to get that done, almost everything is in the Word of God. This is what we need. We need to know what the Bible says, and that's where we should start as our point of reference. Mm-hmm. But if God needs to speak to us beyond that, and I do believe that he can at times. We went through that last week, the restrictions on that. But if he says something, it will always be in accord with this. Mm-hmm. If he needs to direct a particular thing, he can. But that's rare. Most of it is living in the real circumstances that I find myself, because most of our life is out of our control. Mm-hmm. And in those circumstances, I do what he told me to do. I center my life on that. Okay.
So I think you kind of teed it up. The very first principle is that we most often see the will of God displayed through the Word of God.
Right.
And we can go to the Word of God and find truths on so many aspects of our lives for daily living. I just think, like, off the top of my head, that how are we to interact with others? We're to love them. Right. We're to be gentle. We're to be kind. Right. We're to speak kindly to them. How are we to live in terms of purity? We're to be self-controlled. We're right. to not give into the lust of the flesh. We're to not be sexually immoral. How are we to live in terms of our spouse? We're to love our husbands, to love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Towards government, you're to honor the emperor. You're to pray for those in right. authority. Like, it goes on and on and on. And those are how we are to live, like, right now in right. daily living. So when it comes to finding the will of God in Scripture, how can we go about, what is a major area in which we can do that? I don't know if that's my right question to you, yeah. but yeah, take it from there.
Okay. How are we going to do that? Well, this is where Psalm 119 becomes thing. You're saturating in the Word of God. I'm going to meditate on your Word. I'm going to study it. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. All right. Yeah. The way the world's going, stand the way of sinners, sit in the seat of scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates. Mm-hmm. The first rule of guidance that I would give to anybody principle is learn the Word of God. Get into it and allow the mindset of the Word of God to become your mindset. We are to be renewed in our minds, and that renewing in our minds is the Word of God replacing the culture that we've been raised in. No matter what that culture is, it can't guide us. It's teaching us wrong things. So we come back to the Word of God. As we come back to the Word of God, So we have to stick there. And that's what will happen in that is that will focus us as we're studying the Word of God on what I need to be right now. And I think that's a big part that I believe people make mistake on guidance. They are looking for guidance because we're all nervous about tomorrow. The whole world is nervous about tomorrow. What's going to happen in the government? What's going to happen in this? What's going to happen? Where should I invest my money? How will my health go? That's why people go to the occult. They go to the occult because they want to know. Yeah. They were insecure about the future. Okay. Once I commit my life into the hands of the shepherd, he then is going to be directing me to the immediate present.
Yeah.
Because it's in that that I actually do the will of God. My wife needs me today to be a godly husband. What we do 10 years from now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But she needs me today. The people around me need me today. So that word of God's going to direct me towards towards what I need to be with people today. And we were talking about this just as we were preparing, but I think it's kind of humorous. I'm teaching at a Bible school. People are generally young. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of them are single. Mm-hmm. When guidance comes up at the Evangelical Institute, I would say 8 out of 10 times, the question is going to be, should I marry this person or not? I mean, it's just, you know, what it has to do with marriage. It's always a marriage. And a thought can come up that if I just marry the right person, I will have a good marriage. Well, I would say marrying the right person helps a lot because there are problems with personality. But just because I marry the right person, I still doesn't mean that it's going to go well. I still am going to go back then to the 99.9%. Mm-hmm. I have to then be kind. I have to be forgiving. If I'm not going to do what it says there, marrying the right person, poor person, if I don't intend to keep that purpose. And if I marry the wrong person and do this, I still end up doing the will of God.
Yeah.
And in that, he could still work it out. So we have a tendency to think that somehow if I just get guidance, everything's okay. No, I have to live by the word of God every day, which means I live in dependence. I live not only just knowing this word, but I have the Lord with me and he's helping me in the day by day.
Mm. Yeah. That's really good. The second principle that you brought up was daily prayer for guidance.
Right.
And can you talk about that?
Okay, I think that's, we all want to know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, we're studying the Word of God, but how many places, you know, guide me in this Word, teach me your Word. We study it, but the Spirit of God, I mean, this isn't impersonal. We don't want to make this, the Word of God, impersonal.
Yeah.
This is God speaking to me. But the Spirit of God takes those words and puts them into my life. Okay, now, today, the Spirit of God is with me. The Lord is with me. It's just, that's the reality. He is my shepherd today. He's not shepherding from heaven, if you would. He's shepherding right beside me. He is, I'm to look to him. He's involved with my life in prayer. He's praying for me. He knows what's going to happen. Now, so I'm going to ask him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him every day, guide me. Direct my thumb. Illumine your word. Meet me every step of the way. So Paul can pray for the Ephesians that they would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this. But this is the Spirit of God illumining the word of God and then strengthening them. So, if I want to be guided, then I'm not so much looking for the guidance as asking for it. Mm-hmm. Because as we said before, most of the men who were guided in the Word of God were not looking for guidance. Mm-hmm. They were just living out the life, and God said, do it this way instead of that way. I mean, go this direction. It wasn't a right or wrong issue. It was a go this direction instead of that direction. So that, why not ask him? Mm-hmm. Why not commit him?
You know,
your way into his hands. If And that, to me, goes hand in hand with the command that I should present myself to God as a living sacrifice, that I should count my members as instruments of righteousness. Now, I'm asking you to guide me in this. Okay, I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church. How can I do that today? Mm-hmm. And I am counting on him to help me make wise decisions as to how that goes. But I'm not just counting on my brain and this word. I'm counting on the Spirit of God to control and guide my thinking and open up the way so that I can be to the people around me what I should be.
That's really good. Yeah, I think it's easy to kind of fall into the trap that the Bible is impersonal. It's about people back then. And yes, the principles apply, but the Holy Spirit uses it daily to renew our minds, to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we can find guidance for our daily living. So I think that's a really good reminder, especially for me. The third principle is the role of godly counsel. And I think this is a big one, too, because it's easy, especially for young people, to not want to seek counsel or advice from other people. Because we haven't lived much life, and yet we can also feel like we're invincible in life, and you can fall into that trap. And but it's important, and the Lord has given godly people, mentors, people who have lived life before us, as people to go to and seek their advice and their wisdom. And so, share a little bit about what that looks like.
You find out if you go to the book of Acts, there's almost as many times when decisions were made on the basis of a collective wisdom. Mm-hmm. Men got together and they talked about it. And I think this is extremely important because we certain teachings on guidance tend to make it sort of pass fail, and people get to the place where they're so afraid that if they make a mistake, then they're not worthy. And I was just, we'll say that with regards to guidance, we have to hold our guidance kind of lightly because we can make mistakes.
Yeah,
they can definitely be made. Because I have the Spirit of God, but I also have flesh. I have to face that. Yeah. This is a pull. This is a pull. And I'm up against an angel of light who can kind of convince me that a good thing, that a bad thing is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just aware that that's a potential. Therefore, I have to be very cautious about my guidance. So, yeah, on major issues, I think that I would be disappointed if I found I made a big mistake. But a lot of times you don't know if you made a mistake. Because just because you do the will of God doesn't mean that everything goes well.
Yeah.
Paul's in prison getting beat up. I mean, and is this the will of God? Yeah, well, it's the will of God, but boy, you could, anyway, it doesn't mean it was going well. So back to our point, what keeps me? I have biases. You have biases. We come to the Word of God. It's one of the things I had learned very early in my Christian life. I was an American, and I read the Bible as an American. And it took a long time for me to figure out how deeply Americanism was being put beside biblical teaching. This wasn't really God.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. I just didn't know it. I was learning the Word of God, and I didn't recognize this as being a cultural principle and not a biblical principle. Yeah. I have it, you have it, we all have it. The value of getting together is if you are studying the Word of God and I'm studying the Word of God, there's certain things which are common because we're all trying to follow this and we're learning it. Mm-hmm. And you've learned some and I've learned some. Then the biases start to arise. It becomes obvious that, hey, this is my bias, and that really doesn't fit with the Word of God. That's why we should be constantly testing each other. You know, is that what it really says? Is that every thought? Mm-hmm. All right. And so the great value of counsel is this, that people have been through things. They've already experienced some of them. Mm-hmm. They have different biases. And collectively, we then begin to see what part is God and what part is our own thinking. Mm-hmm. Right? And again, you're right. When we're young, we have a tendency to think that we can think it all through. We have no idea how deep our cultural biases are that have to be overcome. And that's why church is so important.
Yeah.
And that's why churches should be diverse, if you ask me. Churches should include, we shouldn't, because the diversity helps separate what is biblical and what is cultural.
Yeah. The Bible transcends culture. I mean, it can touch any culture in any time throughout history.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's also important because, and maybe it's really easy, I think, for Americans too, to fall into the, Christianity and American culture are, they were so united for so long, and there's a big divide now, but that's still, and you grew up in a different day than I grew up. Yeah. So, but I think it's important to realize that.
Yeah. So we need counsel. Yeah. We need to. So again, if I was going back to, because we get to this one, like say for marriage, the truth of the matter is, there's no teaching on guidance in marriage. Paul is so casual about marriage. Says, I could get married if I wanted to. Am I the only one that doesn't have a right to be married among the apostles? Mm-hmm. All right. But I don't think it's a good idea right now. This is my general paraphrase. It's not a good idea. I'm doing this. I made a choice. But if I want to get married, I could get married. And he tells that same thing to other people. If you feel like you need to get married, get married. If you think you can stay single, stay single. I think it's a better idea. As Paul said, in light of the day, wisdom would favor this. But if you go that way, he's very casual. He doesn't press that. And that feature thing, being so casual about the whole thing, how am I going to then make the right choice? That's where I think. Instead of just sitting in your room and trying to decide, is this the will of God, when you've got all kinds of heartbeats going the wrong way? Yeah. How are you going to hear the will of God when your heart's already totally committed to the person and you're just trying to? So it's kind of humorous. But anyway, what I need is godly counsel. I need somebody who isn't under the influence of to say, you know what? You really ought to think about this, because you're not, this doesn't fit. Or, this is something that could work. I need that counsel.
Yeah.
I need that counsel in the work. When I was director of the work here, when I was the one who had to make the decisions, I had a half a dozen guys on a board, and two or three particularly. And every time I was going to make a major decision, I was going to go through them. I'm going to bounce it off of them. One had been a pastor for many years. Another one has been a missionary and led mission group. What do you think? Where will this go? I need their help. I just need it. So we don't want to get in the sense that it's just between me and God. Now, in the end, I have to make the decisions because I am responsible for them. And I should also note that we talked about it earlier. Paul backed off on that. When it was his team, he would tell them what to do. And I think he expected them to go along with the team, because it was his, just like in a church, we have to follow what the elders say in the church. That's their role. But when it was outside of his team, you get the story of Apollos in the end of 1 Corinthians. He says, I asked Apollos to come, and Apollos doesn't want to come. I mean, it's really kind of, and we have to leave it with that. And he'll do it when he can. He didn't try to press him. Right? That was ultimately, it was Paul's decision, not Paul's. I can never impose guidance on anybody else, except for, again, the situation when I made a decision, and when I was director, then that was the decision for the group.
Yeah.
Right. Then we all have to go with it, because that's the nature of a group. But I wouldn't, as the director of the work, tell a member of the work what I thought they should do in their home.
Yeah.
That is not my business.
Yeah.
That is their business.
When it's related to the group in terms of, you know, the school, then right. It is a group effort because right. decisions have to be made.
I might talk to that person and say, I think you're making a mistake in your home mm-hmm. on this count. That's my opinion.
But you leave it there.
But I leave it there. And if they do something about it, good. If they don't, then they have to walk before God on it. I can't impose what God's saying to me on you unless we're on a team effort there.
Yeah.
So godly counsel is a huge part of guidance. Mm-hmm. We need each other.
Yeah.
And that collective wisdom that comes because we all see things differently, but we all have the same word. If we're all saturating in the word of God, then the noise comes to the surface and we can pick it off. And I'm very strong on that part. Because it's just like an NMR, one of those spectrum. What? Anyway, you get these spectrums taken for your health. What they do is they do CAT scans where they're going through it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Every time they go through it, there's a little bit of signal mm-hmm. and there's a lot of noise. But if I keep going over it enough times, the signal starts being amplified or it shows up and the noise cancels. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to talk to each other, because we want the noise of our lives to cancel and the truth of the word of God to emerge. Mm-hmm. It's not quite that subtle, but it's a good way. So yeah, it's very important.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Now, a fourth principle that we kind of discussed was, just because God guides me doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy path.
Right.
And we touched on that earlier, but that's a big principle to come to grips with, because we can fall into the illusion that, if it's the will of God, it's going to be an easy path. But when we look at the life of Jesus, the will of God was the cross, and that was not easy.
No.
It was a traumatic, horrible experience where Jesus was separated from his Father. And so, and likewise in our own life, it's not that life is going to be terrible.
Yeah,
but there is that possibility that it's not always easy.
Yeah, and that's extremely important too. Just have to get that in your mind. That the purpose of God for me could be anything. I mean, way to say that. Why was Stephen stoned? He'd just been picked to be one of the guys to take care of the widows. He brought him into a place of prominence. He stands up and he preaches, and he was stoned. Now, if you're not going to take this approach that, hey, my life is in God's hands, and he can dispose of it however he wants to,
mm-hmm.
and that what he purposes for my life and what he purposes for your life, I don't know what that's going to be. You could come to the conclusion that, Stephen, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have gotten up there to preach because of where it ended up. I can't assess my guidance on the basis of where it ends up in circumstances. Mm-hmm. I could marry the right person. And again, we don't want to be brutal here, but and they could die of cancer a year later. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were the right person doesn't mean that they could end up in a situation where, even though that's the right person for me, I would have to live with deficiencies that, again, a health problem that they ran into that would go on for years and years and years. It's still the purpose of God. And that's where I have to be to my wife what the Word of God says, whether it's, you know, it's the sickness and health. But that isn't an indication that I married the wrong person.
Yeah.
That's just the way life works out.
Mm-hmm.
It could go well. Again, I think I married the right person, and here we are 50 years later or 40-something years later, and it's gone well. That's God's.
Yeah.
That's his grace to me and his kindness, but he could have done it otherwise. Mm-hmm. And same thing, it works. Paul goes to Philippi and does exactly what he's told to do. He goes over to Macedonia, and boy, mm-hmm. it got a little dicey there for a while. But that's where you have to know that, okay, it's the purpose of God, and the shepherd's in control. And the end of following the Lord is not peace. Mm-hmm. in my circumstance, it's peace in the Lord, mm-hmm. which we talked about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's real important.
Yeah.
That I trust. And if it goes, we had just last week, a missionary couple in Haiti mm-hmm. was murdered. I mean, there they are. Were they out of the will of God? I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I don't mm-hmm. think you look at that and say they should have, God didn't guide them there. He could have guided them there. James got martyred pretty early. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. why? I don't know. That's the purpose of God. Mm-hmm. He has the right to do with you what he wants to do. If he wants to make my life hard to glorify him, good. If he wants to make it easy, that's his prerogative. All I have to do, and this is what makes it so simple, I don't have to assess whether, because you could go the other direction. There are those that go, oh, I must not be in the will of God because it's getting too easy.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't assess it that way. What I do is I obey the word of God in the circumstances I find myself. That's the basic approach to life. Today, I've got to do whatever it is. If I'm abounding, good. If I'm being abased, good.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
So. The fifth principle that we talked about was that God's wisdom produces good fruit. And that's from James 3:17, which says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And I think that that list is a really important yeah. list to think yeah. about in terms of when you are thinking about asking God for guidance, his will in these areas, does it match up with this list of,
right.
does it produce good fruit in your yeah. life? It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easy, but does it produce good fruit?
Right.
And because God is always going to, his will aligns with his character. And
right.
so it's not going to go against the word yeah. of God.
Amen.
So we have to hold that also up there.
Right. Yeah. Amen. And that is also important, that where's it taking me? Where's it taking me? What is the outcome of it? I can't guarantee that everybody who I speak to will follow the Lord, but is it producing good fruit in people? Mm-hmm. That's a big question to be asking in my life. Is it? Because that's the purpose of God. He says that in John chapter 15, after he talks about abiding, then he says this, that you didn't choose me. This is a great verse to me, but I chose you. Mm-hmm. And that the choice, now again, he's speaking to the apostles there, but I think he's speaking to the whole church. There's a reason why it's recorded for us to listen to. And that he picked this out. That choosing means he picked you out for a purpose. You were chosen to go and to bear fruit that would stay, good fruit that would continue. Can't assess. The apostles didn't have all good fruit. It was in the sense that there were people who listened and walked away, just like it was for the Lord. But fruit was the end of it, was people being changed in a positive way, blessing coming to people and then being changed in a positive way, and in a positive way that was permanently positive. And we do have to look and see, am I in the will of God? Well, if I am, then that should be happening. It should be happening for all of us. And we, you know, there might yeah. be bad days, but overall that should be taking place. Mm-hmm. It's an important point.
And then in conclusion, the final principle that we talked about, and we also mentioned it earlier, and that is that we hold it lightly. We hold guidance right. lightly. And yeah. I think that's important to remember as well.
Yeah. And I think that's where the humility part comes in. The shepherd sheep thing is really important. And again, I was a perfectionist. I still am a perfectionist in certain respects, but I just had a very overly high view in the early days of my own guidance. I thought, you know, I was going to do it right. And it didn't take very long before I realized that, you know what, I can make a lot of mistakes. And that, yeah, I think this is the will of God. I think this is the way I should go. but I could be making a mistake. And that protects me. It protects me because in all steps, then I'm going to do what? I'm going to lean on the Lord and say, you know what? I could be making a mistake here, and I'm just looking to you to override it. I'm counting on him to do that. And if he has to do it, it doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. We don't want to become proud of our guidance because you can get to a place where you're too proud to back off and say, you know what? I probably was wrong at that point. And if I find myself wrong at a particular point, I say, oh, boy, I blew that one. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. The shepherd already knew that. He knows all about us. I'm greatly encouraged by the Lord's word to Peter. Peter, Satan has asked permission and has been granted permission to sift you like wheat. I prayed for you because he's going to fail. He is going to fail, but I prayed for you. And after it's over, you know, you'll be restored. See, Peter was going to make a big mistake. He was trying hard, but he's going to make the mistake, but he's going to fail. But the Lord's there. He's already taken that into consideration. He's prayed for him. Lean on the shepherd.
Yeah.
His pronouncements of greatness didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. But the Lord didn't give up on him, and he comes back in John chapter 21 and says, Peter, I'm commissioning you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you love me, now do this. It didn't cut him out of the program. He was recommissioned, if you would. Shepherd guides. Shepherd, take care of us.
Yeah.
The future's uncertain. It's just absolutely uncertain. We do the best we can. We follow what the word says. But we're counting on a shepherd who's always there, who is preparing today. Mm-hmm. His loving kindness is already out ahead of me for the day. I can trust him in that.
Yeah. That's really good. Well, thank you. We hope that this encouraged you as we went through these six different principles. And as always, you can listen to all of our previous episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and YouTube. Follow along on Facebook and Instagram. And we will see you again next week. Until then, may the Lord bless you.